Welcome to the Wine Vault. In tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try a new varietal in Vinos de Arganza Mencia from Spain. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by a highly sexist and inappropriate Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Well, not sexist. I'm just wearing an old school t-shirt, a George Clinton t-shirt, and it's
objectifies women.
And he wore it in front of my children, my mom.
Yes, your mother. Yeah.
Me. I didn't know Sweet Sue was going to be here tonight.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus
That's
Christ.
Right. You knew our children were going to be here.
Well, yes. But usually they're in bed.
Did your wife see what you were wearing when you left today?
She did. She kissed me goodbye and said, I love you.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be doing any shenanigans involving port, that I should spend the night.
Yeah. She didn't want you back, is what it amounts to.
Of course, the problem is I'm no longer welcome because of my inappropriate attire.
Yeah, right. just take your shirt off.
You have to find somewhere else.
I'll get you a shirt to cover up. Good God. Regardless.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's right.
Oh.
Don't go away, Mad Scotty. Just go away. Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
That's right.
Bye, Felicia.
And with that, folks, the Triple B is also in attendance tonight. With a more appropriate t-shirt.
Right. My shirt is a Susan Komen breast cancer awareness shirt.
Oh, so you are pro-women. Scott is anti-women.
Yeah. I'm just trying to balance them out.
And we have some interesting discussion about that later on in the show that I'm going to bring up. Because we have Becky's Corner, although I am going to steal it tonight and address something very important. I think it's going to help.
Which would also be. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, it's very important. It's very
Speaking
important.
Speaking of sexism.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that that is more sexist for you to take away my corner, but it is something that upset you earlier that I think is valid.
I'm borrowing it. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, you'll still have your corner, though. Although, you don't have a corner. You have the world. How's that?
Oh, my God. Oh,
that is...
Oh, and she's blushing.
That's right.
Oh,
my
God.
Yes.
And it's sincere.
Buttering up. Oh, my God. I've not heard anything less sincere.
Although Charles Manson could seem to be charismatic and earnest next to that shirt you're wearing. So, on tonight's show, we have an interesting wine for a varietal we have never had on the Wine Vault. It's exciting. It's the varietal Mencia. It is a Spanish only varietal.
It's spelled Mencia.
I know,
if
but
you all are Googling it at home, that's why you can't find it.
Pronounced Mencia. Mencia. It is a medium bodied floral red fruit driven wine, normally medium bodied. Very exciting. And the winery overall, this is Vinos de Arganza Flavium Selección. There you go. The winery's name, though, is Vinos de Arganza. You can find them online. They have a whole line, and one thing that they focus on is Mencia.
Mencia.
I'm sorry, Mencia. There I am. I'm doing it both ways. Mm-hmm. This is from the Bierzo? Is that the...
Bierzo?
Bierzo, probably, yes. That's the region, and it's northern Spain, I do believe. Interesting.
And Mencia only grows on the Iberian Peninsula.
That's true.
And it's kind of like a Spanish Pinot Noir.
Somewhat. Although we are using Syrah glasses. It isn't quite...
I was going to ask you about that because when I did my pre-show research, it said that Mencia is halfway between a Pinot Noir and a Petite Syrah. So I was wondering...
Ergo.
About your choice.
This.
And should we, if we were true professionals, shouldn't we drink it out of both and see which is best?
We should, but that's a lot of wine glasses to
or
wash.
Or did you consult your app?
Mencia is not on the Riedel app.
Wow.
I know.
What?
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's...
They have everything, I thought.
Not Mencia.
Wow. Okay.
So
this is James Suckley, and I would like to say that Mencia, as it's properly pronounced in España, where I am perfectly welcome, unlike some places in the United States that have court orders against me, in my opinion. Menthia is lovely, and I know that the Pinophile loves it.
That's right, it's a Pinophile.
Be nice.
Menthia, very good. I like a Pinot.
I have a couple of questions about this before yes. we get into it. Yes. So what made you buy this on wine.com?
It was cheap. This was $9.99.
He was score chasing.
I was. But we aren't going to say what the scores are.
Because we may or may not agree.
That's right. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, folks, we are going to break this wine down and pretend like we know what Menthia is here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So, the 2015 Vinos de Arganza Flavium Selección Menthia from Spain. It did get a couple reviews, as I alluded to. The first one, we'll start with the lowest and least significant ever. The Wine Enthusiast. Mm. And just to let you know, this wine normally comes in about $18, but I got it for $9.99. Probably because I think they're trying to move this vintage out, even though I don't know why, because of the reviews. But anyway, the Enthusiast gave it 89 of its points. And they wrote, cassis, prune, and cigar box aromas announce a ripe wine. Then a plump, chunky, soft palate confirms that assessment. Big, grapey flavors are round and kind of easy, while a short finish has a chocolate note filling any gaps.
Round and kind of easy?
Round and kind of easy. That's what they used to call Scott.
Used to.
Yeah, well, he's no longer round.
Easy on Sunday morning.
Yeah, so the 89, that was just set it up for me. And then the Wine Spectator, they provided it 91 of their points. No, Marcella, I do not want your advice on how to make a wine. Yeah. Whenever you're on wine.com, folks, I read the reviews off there. You have a little wine steward. I sometimes actually want to, engage with them, but I know they're a real person because I've actually had to engage them to get information to get my order corrected, which they quickly did, and send me an extra bottle to boot.
They actually provide great customer support. They do
very good customer support.
Yeah, and the chat function, they'll answer your questions.
Yep.
It's, little sidebar topic.
It does work, by the way.
I would love for you to ask them which glass they recommend you drinking Menthia out of.
Why would I ask them? I'm the expert. Nevertheless.
In your bountiful of experience of drinking Menthia.
drinking Menthia.
right. Thank you, Scott.
I thought it was Monastrell. Nevertheless.
That's funny. Who would have thunk? I mean, it's a bit of an oddball region.
It is.
If we like it, it's $10. That's amazing.
It is. Yeah. It is.
So, I mean, the varieties that are grown there are limited.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Menthia, Alicante Boucher.
Which I like.
They've got some experimentals, but the local rules, the denomination d'origine, only allows limited amounts of these other experimental grapes, which are Tempranillo, Merlot, mm-hmm. Cab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And white grapes, Dona Blanca. Godello? I've never heard of Godello. Have you heard of Godello?
No.
No, I haven't.
Palomino, which we've heard of. It seems like we've had Palomino in a blend.
No, you've had Palomino in sherry. That's what sherry is.
Ah, yes.
And I hate Palomino. So.
A dry sherry.
It was not good.
A dry sherry was delicious.
It tasted like a butt, but nevertheless.
I hate getting my hopes up.
Yes.
But for the most part, we like Spanish wine.
Yes. We do.
There is value to be found often in Spanish wines.
There is.
Check mark.
Especially for a really nice full-bodied wine.
That's
not
true.
And now I don't want to ever taste it because I'm so nervous. It's not going to live up to the hype that I'm creating in my mind.
Well, let me provide some more hype with this review. 91 from the Spectator, and they wrote, "This plush red delivers a deep well of black cherry and currant flavors." That's different than what the enthusiast says, but that's okay. "With licorice and chocolate notes that give way to a floral finish. Well-integrated tannins are and lively acidity keep this focused."
That's like my love. Tannins.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Menthia normally has a good acidity. You know, and that's what they're known for. Floral notes, red fruit flavors, medium-bodied. That's what it is.
Those things with a little bit of earthy, gravelly thing going on. I'm excited. I don't want to be disappointed either. I'll be honest with you.
Let's get to getting
anticipation.
Well, in the glass, it is dark.
It's really dark.
Dark, 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 dark crimson.
Oaked? Did you say that?
I did not find any information as to it being oaked. I do believe this is their Crianza level, by the way, because they have other levels.
Which would mean it's a minimum of 6 months in oak casks.
There we go. 6 months on oak. Yeah. Although, I mean, was that for Menthia, though?
It's just wines produced in general in the region.
Okay. Okay.
It's just the local DOGs, the rules. The rules of the game.
There we go.
Yeah, so it's got a little bit of
particulate.
Crisp particulate, which is probably, you know,
lack of filtration.
Oh, do you know what examples of food pairings are?
What's that?
Charcuterie plates.
Which we have in front of us.
Very classic Spanish, though.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was trying to look.
Cigarettes. They like that, too.
It says it can sometimes have a little bit of a bitter tannin. It can be made with softer tannins. Look for wines aged in oak barrels with tasting notes of nutmeg and sugar. Okay. Because my first, the first smell that I got was like an oak, maybe a sour oak flavor. I don't know if those.
Smell red raspberry.
Yep.
I think I can smell like the smoky cigar box.
Well, there is cigar box, tobacco leaf cigar box, yes. Absolutely. It is prominent there.
But overall, it's not this big nose.
Did you say red raspberry?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the base of it. There's a little bit of, it's a slightly floral red raspberry, and then the cigar box, tobacco leaf really then comes in. But it's more, like I said, it is more cigar box than it is tobacco leaf. Yeah. And the difference between those two, folks, I would akin cigar box to having a little more of a spicy edge to it than I would tobacco leaf. Tobacco leaf is a little more mineral driven, wouldn't you say, Scott?
And didn't you pungent. Say minty?
Yeah. What's that?
Mint.
Mint? I didn't know.
No, with a tobacco.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, it can be. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flavor Town, yes.
There is.
Flavor Country, I'm sorry.
Nothing else to do but go in.
That is the natural progression of things.
Why is our anticipation so high for this? Uh-oh.
No, I just swallowed it wrong.
Wow. You know what I like about this wine? It tastes fresh and vibrant, and it doesn't come across as overly boozy. Huh? When it first hit my palate, because it is so, it's bright fruit, really bright fruit. I thought it might go a little bit. Remember that, Anzio that we did, the Grenache?
Yes.
And it made you drunk just holding it in the glass, even though the alcohol wasn't there. It just tasted boozy.
It did.
This doesn't do that. It has all that ripe, bright fruit flavor, but it doesn't go boozy, and I like that.
My first impression of this was the finish. My first taste of this, the finish, it just, nice lingering, nice depth to the finish.
The finish is nice, but that expression of red fruit, that red raspberry, and cherry interwoven with those two things, with all that nice little tobacco cigar box, then also framing it, is such a nice, nice thing. It is medium-ish bodied.
Right. Ish.
It has a mouthfeel, maybe a slightly more rustic than a Pinot, but it doesn't have Pinot flavors.
No. Other than maybe that tart cherry.
Maybe that tart cherry, but there's plenty of sweetness there too. It's really an excellent combination of the two.
Yeah, I think so. The wine is basically black in the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's thrown me a little bit at, that it's not more of a fuller bodied wine.
Right.
Just a note. I think I'm going to just drink some more.
It's a dancer, though, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. The tannins in the
it
back
has a really
half
long
of this.
Finish.
It kind of changes through the finish. Mm-hmm. You know, the tannins start real big, and then they kind of mellow and just linger and linger and linger. I think there is that little minerality with that streak of tobacco.
A slight bit.
Back in there, just a little and
just gives it a depth, a slight bit more depth.
What was their terminology? It reminds me of a dusty gravel road is the way I frame.
Well, overall, with the mouthfeel, how it comes across, the rustic edge to it.
Yes.
Yeah, but with that rustic edge, it's in balance because it has a sweeter red fruit, which is nice.
And with all that going on, there's a subtle acidity about it. That's there's a lot going on in this glass.
There is.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice, though, complete package.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's borderline harmonious in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was just going to
really
say.
Really is.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so much different than anything I've tasted, I was trying to decide in my mouth, in my mind, if this was like chaotic or harmonious.
Oh no, I don't think ever.
Just because it's so much different to say it has cherry and gravel and, you know, like all these things. I think I just need to, I don't know. This is a really, we've talked about this before, like just really expanding your palate, really expanding your, like our vocabulary. I mean, this wine really is so much different than a lot of stuff I've ever tasted.
It reminds me of bits and pieces of different varietals.
Right? Yes.
But not often is the whole package because I've had, Gamay. It reminds me of elements of Gamay because of the fruitiness. Elements of Zinfandel are represented. Elements of Grenache definitely are represented.
Very definitely.
And it's, you know, you can sense a little bit of a Languedoc feel to it. However, it isn't as mineral driven as that. And it also has a tobacco edge that you might find in a Chianti out of Italy.
Well, yes,
it has so many different things. But then that I keep coming back to that bright red fruit. That red raspberry is so nice and so well accented by everything else.
It's kind of like the red raspberry is there the whole time.
It is.
And then there's other things that come in and out of it.
Mm-hmm. It's the star.
Yeah.
And then everything else is, I wouldn't call it tinsel because I think it's more substantial than that. But, you know, it's multiple things.
Well, and then similarly, I think you could take the finish on this and insert it in about any high quality wine of any variety. It's just a nice, smooth, tannic finish.
Yeah.
I know.
It's delicious.
It is.
$9.99.
It's shocking.
Currently.
It really is.
It's really, really surprising to get all of these layers and a tannic finish at under $10.
Yeah, I don't think this has, you know, cellaring potential
per
se.
No, Lord, no.
You know, maybe you set it back a year, but
it's
for
a drink now,
we always play this game. What would you pay for this and not be disappointed? I'll tell you.
I'd pay $11, $12.
Oh, $30?
Yeah. I was going to say $30.
You know, it depends on how it was packaged because it tastes like something that you would pay $50 from Acorn Winery from.
Yeah.
The medley up there, it's a bigger version of this, but it certainly reminds me a little bit of those two things. Think of that. Think of this, a magnum version of this. That's the medley. You weren't here for that. You were on vacation.
Not here.
It was delicious, by the way.
It
was wonderful.
And you're comparing this to a $60 bottle of wine?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, $50.99.
So I know. I just now had this thought without us scoring anything. If it makes the Hall of Fame.
What?
I think it, I don't know.
I don't know what kind of score you're giving it, but
well, no, I'm just gonna say I think it's a really good wine. It's so different.
It is.
And which wall right does it belong on?
Probably the Castillo. No, I mean
no.
Oh well, where? Where do you think it's going?
I don't know.
Well, we'll see how the scores shake out, I suppose. Yeah. But
something else that I was just thinking about is how good this wine is to just sit and drink. Yeah. It doesn't need food. It doesn't need anything else. It's just good on its own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
really, and like it just really is a very satisfying glass of wine.
It also, I believe, could be enjoyed by various levels of wine drinkers.
I think, and it's easy to pick out the elements we've mm-hmm. talked about. It's the structure on this wine is impeccable. What's in the front palate should be in the front palate. The transition to the mid palate, as Becky said, you know, that raspberry kind of lingers into there. That's a nice link. The tobacco, gravel. I think there's a little bit of currant coming through now.
There is red currant, yeah.
And then that just transition in the finish. It's a phenomenal drink.
But then again, the red currant, I think, also though is emulated a little bit because of the tobacco cigar box / red fruit. Combine those two, it's red currant to a certain degree. Now, obviously, red currant might be a little bit softer than those two things, but that's what I would akin it to. But let's go around the room. Let's each throw out something that you taste. Starting with me, red raspberry. Go ahead. I cheated.
Yes.
We'll go clockwise. Becky will be third.
Ha ha. Acidity.
Jesus. Okay.
Now you know what it's like to sit across from you.
What's that mean?
The eye roll.
I know. Go ahead.
Cigar box. We've kind of already done some of this. Go ahead.
That's true. But cherry.
Yeah. I would go sour cherry, but there you go. That little dust of gravel. Mm-hmm. Minerality.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I don't know what floral, but floral.
Floral?
Yeah.
As a whole, I suppose, there is a
floral. With the raspberry up front?
I was going to say, for me, it's raspberry, then floral, then mid-palate is how.
There's an astringency, too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're on the mid-palate. Mm. That leads into the tannin.
And we haven't really... I would call these almost chewy tannins. Mm-hmm.
They are. Depending on... I mean, if you draw air, they are. Yeah, if you just quaff it, you're not going to notice it. But yeah, you draw air, it's chewy tannin.
This is... Mm-hmm. This is a wonderful wine. I
wonder if they snuck a little Alicante Boucher in there. By the way, folks, Alicante Boucher, very tannic. Very tannic.
It's 100% Menthia.
Damn it.
How dare you?
I'm just saying a couple of stray Alicante. If they did, I'm not going to judge them. Maybe higher.
I have one more flavor that I can get out of it.
Go for it.
Chocolate. Like a mocha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dustiness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely, folks. Well,
is there anything else?
I don't know.
That's a lot.
It is.
It is a lot. Yeah, I mean, you could start pulling, you start then just throwing shit at the wall.
Okay, if you
want rhubarb.
To it's like, yeah,
rhubarb.
But
yeah.
This is the perfect example of why we always say you can never go wrong with an inexpensive Spanish red.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Here's one. You didn't even know what was in it. You know, saw score, saw the price point. It's yeah, absolutely want to do that on the show. 91 from the Spectator, $9.99.
Scott,
and here's this wonderful thing.
I can tell you in one case where you go wrong with a cheap Spanish wine. It's called Borsal.
Yeah.
Vina Borja.
Vina Borja is delightful.
It was in our wedding.
Nothing wrong with
you. Haven't had it in 8 years. You don't know. Then you thought it was delightful. Now you'll probably say, I'd rather drink up something out of a pig pen.
Have we done it on the show?
I don't know where it is. It's not in grocery stores.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Really?
I saw it at Trader Joe's.
We should have bought it.
Next time I'm at Trader Joe's, I'll buy it. They have it there.
That'll be you and Scott's episode.
They have it on the bottom shelf.
How dare they?
that's hardcore. That means tribunals higher up the food chain.
I saw it there when I was there last time with my sister. I mean, that was like in the snow, so it's been a minute. But yeah, they had Vigna Borgia at Trader Joe's.
You know, what was it? Ravage? What was that Ravager Cabernet or whatever? The woman said, it's really sweet.
Oh, yeah.
The Ravage. Oh, my God.
No, it's Ravage. It's not Ravage. What the hell? Yeah, and you're like, go fuck yourself. It's like, really?
Wine.com has it for $8.
Vigna Borgia?
Vigna Borgia should be about $6.
Yeah, or $4 in a Magnum.
At Total Wine, it's $6.79.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to take a break, folks, and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, I wanted to just... Scott has an interactive game that he wants us to play, which should be great to be cut later. But first, I want to deal with something that occurred to me. Then Scott's sexist t-shirt reminded me about it. And this might seem a little odd for me. It might even seem disingenuous. But it pisses me off. Strangely enough, there are a few things that piss me off. One thing is sexism.
That is incorrect. Wait. A lot of things piss
me off. Yeah, I was going to say, you have to rephrase
now,
that.
Some old-fashioned sexism, you're like, it's almost like a fine wine. It's just bad. But you're like, ooh, I got to savor that. What does piss me off is, and I don't know if we've ever thought about this.
By the way, this is a great lead-in.
Your name is Mr. Scott File, right?
Okay.
She's Mrs. Becky Dern. Actually.
No, hold on. And he was born Mr. Scott.
Yeah, you always have been Mr. Women, though, if they're unmarried, you know, barren, I guess, they might be Miss or Ms. It's only until they're married to a man, coupled to a man, that become Mrs.
I think that when you get divorced, you become a Miss. You get
downgraded. Women's, their prefix are dependent on their relationship to a man, and men's aren't. That's ridiculous. So, like, Henry's new teacher, she's Miss whatever her name is, because she's, you know, can't find a man. That's terrible.
Grant, she's like 22.
Oh my Lord.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But it's
not. She can't find a man. But nevertheless, but have you ever thought about that, Scott? A woman, she could be 50, and she just, you know, men are douchebags. I think we know this.
We
could tell by your t-shirt. Why would a woman ever want to marry a man? We wear these fucking shirts, and so the woman's 50. She'd still be a fucking miss. What the fuck is that?
Well, and it could change several times.
Well, Henry, our son, or Luke, he's one. He's still Mr. Luke Dern. He is. Mm-hmm. It's horse shit. It's ridiculous.
If you're widowed, does it change back, or do you still get to be Mrs.?
You're Mrs.
Always.
Yeah, because you found a man. Now, if he left you, then you lose your status. Yeah. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
But it is. Business applications, when you don't know...
Ms.
It's Ms.
Who puts that on a business application?
I don't know.
It's mandatory.
Scott.
For you?
Some, yeah.
Oh. I don't think I did. There's a thing where it's like you can check it, and I usually don't ever check it because I feel like it's weird.
I've never wrote miss anything, ever.
It's safer sometimes to address it to representative or
attorney blind.
Our if case, I've ever had to do, that's true. If I've ever had to do that, I just put MS.
Yeah, yeah. Miss. Yeah, I always do that, assuming, but you shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
There should be one prefix for a woman and a man. That's ridiculous. That's just stupid.
It's fair.
And Mrs. Robert Dern.
So.
That's not okay.
Paige brought up an excellent point about wedding registries. Okay.
I don't know if this is true, but go ahead.
She brought up this point about wedding registries.
By the way, this is Steve's wife.
Yeah.
Happily married, multiple children. Sorry, ladies. Go ahead.
She's a Mrs. She's attained the title of Mrs.
Mm, yeah.
Mrs. Superstar. But we were talking about wedding registries for another friend of ours. And she was like, they're really outdated because they were invented whenever women were moving out of their parents' house into their husband's house.
Mm-hmm.
But now women often own a home.
Like the person you're probably talking about?
Yeah. She's the one that owns the home.
Yeah, I know.
That they live in. But she was just saying, making the point about wedding registries are really antiquated.
Mm-hmm. Just get them candlesticks because everybody fucking wants them. What the hell's that all about?
Yeah, it's better than trusting people to bring quality gifts.
I know. Yeah. Did you get that shirt as a gift, Scott?
I bought this at a concert.
Did you?
George Clinton, by the way. Mm. Parliament Funkadelics.
And the P-Funk.
Yeah. George probably is like... Oh, man, I made that fucking shirt. Oh, shit.
Dogs of the world unite.
Because so, that's bad.
I was at a, speaking of this, I was at
George
a.
George Clinton never said that.
Bridal shower this weekend. Yeah. There were two extremely awkward moments. Extremely.
Mm.
One was when the father of the groom. They were both from the groom's family.
Why was the father of the groom at a bridal shower?
I don't know. He came in about halfway through.
Then again, it's a good thing he was there because it actually had somebody at the shower. So
took
go ahead.
My seat.
Okay.
And then we're, like, playing a game, like, who does it better, the bride or the groom? Like, makes the bed, and who has a cleaner car? Like, that kind of stuff.
No, I can't say what I'm
talking about. I know where you're headed. But anyways.
The groom, definitely. Oh.
Well, then the question was, who gives better back rubs?
Oh.
Oof.
And the father of the groom said, I think the maid of honor has something to say about that. Right, Chris? About the groom. Like, basically insinuating that the maid of honor and the groom have something going on the side.
No, she just touches him on the back.
It was...
For what you suggested, though, he... I mean...
It opens the door to question.
It was... I'm leading the game. It's because not the person
Don
that,
Juan we're talking about here.
He's not. The person that had brought the game was like, I don't think I can lead this. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too shy. So I'm like, oh, okay, I can lead this game. But then I got up there and did that, and I'm like... Jeez, people. So that happened. And then the niece of the groom said, I have a joke to tell. I'm like, oh, okay. So she tells a joke. Why did the groom say that the bride looks like a camel?
Because of the way her pants look?
No punchline. That's the joke.
How old was she?
Wait, what?
I don't know, 12?
Wait, what?
Oh, well, then she wouldn't have made my joke.
But she stood up in front of the whole shower and said that.
What? So.
What?
And there was no punchline.
No punchline. That was
it. Did anybody buy her a dildo?
Prob.
That's a question. I don't know. Or lingerie.
No, her gifts were not great, except for this gift that my cousin Lila brought her. She brought her, like, this really pretty wooden sign, like, this is us. But she got, like, a 3-tiered pizza server.
What? Oh, what's that?
And
3-tiered pizza server.
Yeah. It was like a three tier.
Are these people obese that they would need something that served 3 pizzas at a time?
But even at home, you only have 2 racks in your oven, typically. So how would you even serve 3 pizzas?
Three tombstones at a time, baby. It's 3, man.
Well, it's not for a whole pizza. It's for pieces of pizza.
What?
I don't know. I've never seen it before, but they got that.
You'll never see it again. They'll return it.
Yeah, they got that. No, they seemed pretty happy about it.
Really?
And then there was some other kind of storage unit container thing. I don't really know either. Their gifts weren't great, like I said.
Didn't sound like it.
The best thing was this sign that my cousin got them.
In other words, I should have been there, aside from making all the food, and emceed it.
Rob did make all the food, and it was delicious. I did make all the food. It was so good.
You fixed the food?
Yes.
Catered it.
I didn't wash my hands before I made any of it. I did it out of protest, so I didn't wash my hands.
He made chicken salad. It was okay. So good.
Grapes and pecans?
No.
Just pecans.
No, almonds.
Oh, yeah, almonds. I hate pecans. Slivered almonds.
Pecans are...
You hate walnuts.
And pecans.
No, pecans are fantastic.
I agree. So it was slivered almonds, celery, mayonnaise, some seasoning.
Dill. Yeah.
Dill. And lemon.
Yeah, lemon zest. Was so must, good. Must.
Yeah.
What else?
Little skewers of tomato, mozzarella, fresh basil. Then like I made a balsamic reduction. Once again, I did not wash my hands before I did that.
And what else?
I don't know. What else? I showed you how to make ganache properly.
I made flourless chocolate tort.
Very nice.
It was really
good. I showed her how to do it. You know, you boil a pot and then you put a stainless
bowl have a double boiler
over the pot to heat it up.
Yeah, that's makeshift double boiler.
Yeah,
that's
a double boiler. Yeah, proper. So, nevertheless, that's what we did. So, Scott, your game. Let's go to that because I'm sure I'm excited.
So, a new game.
Yes,
we've recently played Drink, Dump, or Hold. In the same vein, we're going to play the pairing game.
The pairing game.
Dun, 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 just like the dating game, the pairing game.
I'm dancing. I'm pretending like there's theme show music.
There is.
Game show music.
Go ahead, Scott. I'll give the theme song
and
while
now,
you go.
For the pairing game. Starring slow roasted pork with mole sauce and spicy black beans.
Oh, and then what wine?
Bacon cheeseburger, high quality beef, charcoal grilled with grilled zucchini and red peppers.
Is this like your meal plan for the week?
Or broiled salmon with mango peppercorn glaze, lemon buttermilk dressed arugula, and cherry tomato salad. Now,
what?
For the question.
Oh, okay. I got
each of those three dishes.
Yeah.
Slow roasted pork with mole sauce and spicy black beans.
All right.
Bacon cheeseburger.
Let's just start off with the first one. Let's just do individually.
He has wine choices, too.
Yes. Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Slow roasted pork with mole sauce and spicy black beans.
All right.
Bacon cheeseburger. A high quality beef, mind you. Charcoal grilled with grilled zucchini and red peppers. Also grilled.
Mm.
On the Weber. Broiled salmon with mango peppercorn glaze.
Mango peppercorn? That sounds delightful.
With a lemon buttermilk dressed arugula and cherry tomato salad.
Okay.
Your wine choices.
Okay.
If you choose to accept.
Okay.
St. Supre Napa Valley Estate Cab Sauvignon. 2016, the current vintage. 2014, Mary Edwards Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir. So her lesser of her offerings.
Yes, yes, it is lesser.
Heights, 2014, Zinfandel, Ink Grade Vineyards.
You have these things?
This is a game.
Oh, okay, they're not real.
They are real. These
yes,
are real
but you've
wines.
Never have you never drank any? Well, you've drank the Saint Supre. Have you drank the other two?
I think I've had the Sonoma Coast
because of mole sauce. I would say actually a Pinotage would be better than because of the smokiness there. But that's all right. You ever thought
that's not one of the offerings?
I know, but
part of the game is here's what you've got. What are you going to pair with which?
None of those. They all suck for that.
Oh, really? Those are sucky wines.
No, they're not sucky wines, but they don't work for that.
I was trying to decide. I think I would go with the Zin.
With the pork?
Yeah.
Now, if I could scrape the sauce off, yes, but I can't.
What's wrong with the mole sauce?
Nothing.
What's wrong with the chocolate sauce?
It's a lovely thing, but you need something that's smoky to go along with that.
No.
Yes, you do, Scott.
It's just chocolate.
Scott, you do. You need something to offset it.
So what would you go with?
Pinotage.
Scott, why would you
not one of the choices.
If you had to choose, Rob, play the game.
He does have to choose.
Well, okay. If I had to choose? If I had to choose.
He's going
to
say water.
No, I'm the only thing that you could. But then again.
Keep in mind, then, you can't pair what you choose now with one of the other entrees.
I know. Seeing that I've had it before. I've had both of them. I've had all three of those things before.
Very actually. Nice.
It would be. It would have to be the Heights in Grade Port. That's it. But
in Grade Zen.
Well, I'm sorry, Zen.
Yeah.
Zen. I think port. It's a nice pair.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's not what it's in.
Okay. With the grilled bacon cheeseburger and grilled zucchini and red peppers.
Mm-hmm. Obviously the Cabernet.
Mm-hmm. That also sounds delightful. I would say Cab also.
Yeah, and that's overkill. And
then the Pinot goes with the broiled salmon. Mm-hmm.
It does. Although that Pinot is quite large.
But, you know.
But that sauce is, you know, eclectic too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peppercorn, mango glaze.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that would actually go well. It's much better than the first pairing.
And by broiling it, you bring out a more meaty texture in the salmon.
Yep.
It kind of dries it out and gives it a more.
Yeah.
Almost like a beefy texture sometimes.
That's good. Called I did salmon tonight on the grill.
It's skin on?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And I did a lemon butter dill sauce.
Very nice.
Yeah. But it was one of those frozen big sides. So you put it on the grill for about skin down for about 40 minutes, still frozen. And it's fine. And Sue loved it. She flipped over it.
I love getting a pound of salmon and cutting up in quarter pound portions.
See, I'm actually.
And then freezing it.
What I'm doing is.
Because it thaws quicker.
I'm practicing on these, and then I'm going to actually. You know, these things are fairly expensive. I mean, this chunk was huge, $7.99.
Nice.
But I don't want to buy, you know, $15 and not know, and not have my technique perfected. So
TJ's regularly priced $9.99, and sometimes they'll have them quarter pound portions like that for grilling specifically with skin on. Next in the pairing game.
Okay.
We're gonna change it up.
We're gonna start with the wines.
We're gonna start with the wines.
All right, that's right. All right.
Something that
I'm
the Derns may have had recently.
Okay.
For our Carano Merlot.
Oh, yes.
Love Block Pinot Noir.
Pick that.
Baron Sonoma County Zinfandel.
That's okay.
All right, here we go. I think this is going to be a little tougher. Okay. Homemade chicken tenders with tots.
Mm. That's for a Carano Merlot.
Burger King double cheeseburgers with fries. Save more or save a lot or whatever the worst discount grocery mart you can think of, pork chops a la shake and bake with fried potatoes. Homemade chicken tenders with tots, Burger King double cheeseburgers with fries, save more shake and bake pork chops with fried potatoes. And the choices are Barat Sonoma County Zen.
Fucking exhausted.
I love Pinot Noir. And Ferrari Carano Merlot.
Who the fuck eats that shit?
People gotta eat, son.
They don't have to eat that. Shake and bake. Do they even make that still?
Yes.
I bet they do. Ugh. I kind of think. So I'm the Save-A-Lot pork chops with shake and bake. I'm kind of leaning towards Love Block. Because it's going to be so gross, this would bring you happiness. Not based off of the pairing, based off of the balancing the.
Well, let me start off. Let me just show you. First of all, you do the Burger King, okay, with Love Block, because you would eat the Burger King in the car on the way home. And then once you got home, you drink the Love Block. You're not going to drink at the same time. So that's that. And that's a fact. The chicken tenders and tots, that's just fucking stupid. But,
No, that sounds delicious. You make really good chicken tenders.
I know I do. And that'd be with Baron Zin. That's the chicken tenders. And then, what was the other thing, Scott? The shake and bake
thing. The Merlot.
Yeah. Why not?
What would you do, Scott?
Where's the chicken pot pie?
I think the Pinot Noir goes with the homemade chicken tenders.
Oh, I didn't know they were homemade.
It's
yeah, that's why I said yours are really good.
Yeah, homemade chicken tenders. Plus chicken with Pinot.
Eh. No.
And
Pinot and fried food.
I'm going to go Merlot with the double cheeseburgers. And the point was you brought them home and drank it with and ate while
or
drinking the wine.
Or you took it to Burger King.
I've never...
And drank it out of a Pringles cup.
Scott, I've never made it home with Burger King with those things still in the bag. They're eaten. And by the way, Pinot and fried foods are never done together.
Nobody said that you had to fry them. You could bake them.
That's just nasty. What? Kind of a limp shit.
Okay. And then the pork chops naturally goes with the Zin.
Naturally, of course.
And do you Becky, what would you do? You only said your initial choice.
I don't know. Maybe... I guess the Merlot with the chicken tenders.
Okay.
And the Zin with the Burger King.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, you're questioning this.
But really, I think the worst of those is the pork chops, and that's why I would pick Love Block with it.
The thing about low quality pork chops, if you get the shake and bake just right, even the worst meat's pretty decent.
Remember those
It might be all the MSG in shake and bake.
I never grew up having shake and bake. I don't know that I've ever even had it.
Seriously. And it's just simple. You just take. And you can do it with
any... It's like breadcrumbs and stuff, right?
It tastes like if you had frosted flakes that weren't sweet and they were salty.
It's actually...
And you put that on the outside of your fucking...
It's actually not a bad...
Frosted flakes that aren't sweet but salty?
It's actually not a bad
salt
technique for preparing meat. You just use a gallon baggie and whatever you want to bread it with, you just dump it all together in that baggie.
Do you put, like, egg on it?
No.
How does it stick?
It just sticks.
Yeah. That's why it's so healthy.
Yeah, I honestly didn't grow up eating
you
it.
Can
there's heavy metals in that pork recipe. Chop, and that's metallic shit you're putting on there. So, do you have another round, Scott?
No, I do not have another.
Just
round.
Just two. That's a shame. So, folks,
it's a fun game.
It was great. I liked it. So, I'm sure it took you all about 5 minutes to do that. So, we're gonna take a break because how much excitement can you have? That I mean, you just need a break. I know you do. I don't, but I know you do. So we're going to do that for you and be right back here on the Wine Vault. So we are now going to review the Vinos de Arganza Flavium Selección Mencia from España. 91 and an 89, respectively, from the Wine Spectator and the Wine Enthusiast. James Suckling, no review.
That's right.
The Pinophile, no review.
That's right. It's a Pinophile.
Well, it's not a Pinot. Why would he review it?
That's why I wouldn't review it. It's not a Pinot. I don't like Mencia.
You know, it's funny how...
What?
The Pinophile's voice sounds a lot like Williams.
What?
No, I was going to say it sounds like someone from Fraggle Rock.
That's because that's probably the way he looks. And he wears capes, just like Williams.
Stop.
He does. So, let's go around the room. We're going to start off with the Triple B.
So, this is the first time I've had Mencia. And so I'm a little bit struggling, and I'm almost, I don't know, part of me is like, should I go down, if I'm like thinking about a range, should I go down that way whenever I have another one?
Nope, you should not.
I saw your score. It's higher than what I was going to go.
You shouldn't cheat. Look at my score.
Okay, so I'm going to give it a 90.
That's a bad score.
Oh my gosh.
That's fine. It's fine.
I'm going to give it a 90.
Weak.
I am so excited to drink more of this. And I would honestly like to have this same wine another time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you all, but I do feel like I've struggled a little bit through this because it's so different than what I'm used to, that like my mind expects certain flavors and it's just shocked me, and in like the best possible way.
Right.
But I would like to drink it another time to feel like I can give it a better review. But I am really, I don't know. Like, we don't talk about our taste buds growing and changing and being exposed to new things, but I absolutely feel like that's happened tonight, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 90. Great.
I mean, honestly, though, we over time, in general, we kind of talk about that all the time, and we use your becoming this Pinot person as an example of your mm-hmm. growth, as your palate mm-hmm. has developed. But as I heard you talk about this, I think you got it. I mm-hmm. think you nailed it right on the head with everything you talked about. Personally, folks, I'm telling you, I'm on wine.com right now on the iPad, and I'm ordering this. They also have a premium Crianza for $12.99,
huh.
A 2013 might be a little old. I'm gonna buy one of those too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
But I'm kind of torn. This definitely starts with a 9. I think I'm gonna go 91. I was between kind of a 91 and a 92. I would frame this as a 90 to 92.
Sure.
The only thing that keeps me probably from going 92, I don't think this has
Ageability. No.
Chops. This is a drink now thing, and it looks like it's not even
well,
a Crianza.
Fair,
that
a
the Selección means it's a level below that, I believe. I'm
yeah,
not certain on that. But mm-hmm. who cares if it's a level below? $9.99 for
yep.
this every day of the week,
yep.
son.
You better believe it.
Could I go 92? I don't know, but I'm going with 91. I recommend this highly. This is, forget the value price Hall of Fame. This is the Wall of Fame.
That's
this is the Wine Vault Wall of Fame.
It is in the Wall of Fame because I am also providing it 91 of my points. What I like, and I think I probably said it 80 times, was that vibrant, fresh red raspberry. The core of the red raspberry was one of the best expressions of that I have seen. I love just the freshness and the overall general happiness of this wine.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I think that so many people would enjoy this wine, this varietal too,
yep.
that they should try it.
Yep.
If you like anything that's fruity, try it. It's a bridge wine. You can learn something from it. There's so many things that are positive about this varietal, but
yep.
this wine specifically, that it just almost is exhausting going through all of it.
It's what we were on the table 3 times?
Yeah.
9 different
yeah.
things we listed?
And it has so many different elements of so many different things that I appreciate.
Yep.
It's crazy. I notice little elements that I like in Pinot. Little elements I like in Sangiovese. Little elements I like in Grenache, definitely. Little elements I like in Zinfandel. Little elements I like in Alicante Boucher. Little elements I like in... Well, I don't really like any elements in Petit Sirah, but if I did... No, I'm just joking.
How dare you besmirch Petit Sirah? How dare you?
Maybe
Petit Sirah?
Petit Sirah.
Maybe like the inkiness of a Petit Sirah.
It's a wonderfully well-rounded, very little known grape.
Mm-hmm.
It should be known, it should be grown, and it should be enjoyed. So,
following up
wonderful.
On what you're talking about, the different components of this, I think you can take this tannic finish and
mm-hmm.
put it up against anything in this price range, and I defy you to find a $10 bottle of wine that has a finish like this.
I know. Tannins are normally like a more expensive wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Attribute. It's great.
You know what? The sweetness and the jazziness
mm-hmm.
reminds me of a Horse Heaven Hills cab.
I think so. Just not quite the body of a Horse Heaven Hills. But
no,
still,
no.
But, and we played a little game with this, pulling the different components apart and what wine do they go with.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and normally if we would do that, it would be this, like you're describing, this disjointed thing, except all these parts go together really well.
They do.
It is one of the better balanced wines we've had on the show, especially mm-hmm. at the price range.
Holy shit.
So a 90, two 91s, Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
tip of the cap, marvelous, good job, do it again, and come back. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we will bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.